Scott Westerman is a longtime telecommunications executive, entrepreneur, and broadcaster. He's currently MSU Associate Vice President for Alumni Relations and Executive Director of the MSU Alumni Association. Scott's also a contributor to Current State. He recently spoke with a Big Ten business professor about getting more with less.
J. Keith Murnion is Harold Hines Jr. Distinguished Professor of Management and Organization at Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management. He's published over a half dozen books on negotiation, organizational psychology, economics, and the art and science of high-impact leadership. His latest book is entitled Do Nothing, How to Stop Overmanaging and Become a Great Leader. It's available in bookstores, on digital platforms, and in audiobook form via audible.com. Keith, thanks for joining us in Current State.
Hey, thanks, Scott. I appreciate being on.
Why are there so few really great leaders in the world?
Well, you know, I think there are a lot of really good leaders. The difficulty about getting from good to great is that people's natural tendencies get in the way. And they get in the way for a couple different reasons. Number one, evolution has really designed us to be active people. Our ancestors wouldn't have survived if they hadn't been active, and that's been passed down to us. So the way I like to think about it, do you know how long a male lion sleeps every day?
No.
20 hours.
I would never make it on Jeopardy. 20 hours.
20 hours. Gorillas are 13.6, and chimpanzees, I'm pretty sure it's 9.7.
So they're the original do-nothing leaders then, huh?
What is our problem here, right? We are programmed to be active, and as we move up in organizations, we don't lose that programming. I mean, the other thing is, we get rewarded for doing stuff. But then when we get promoted, we really need to stop doing what we've been doing, focus more on the people who are working for us, stimulate and facilitate their performance, and we'll be more effective as leaders. But too often, we get in the way.
So how do you become a do-nothing leader?
Well, I think part of it is realizing that you've got some choices. And the choices start with knowing people on your team, knowing what they can do, trusting them, not being afraid to trust them, and actually realizing how wonderful the consequences are. One of the ways to do this is really scary for some leaders. It shouldn't be so scary, but take a two-week vacation. Do not bring your laptop or your cell phone. Leave things to your team for 2 weeks. See what you get when you come back. Now, most teams are not going to completely sabotage the entire organization. Instead, what you'll find is people step up, they make great decisions, they cope with problems better than you thought they ever could, and that you aren't as critical as you thought you were.
So you really start learning about the capabilities of an individual when you let
Absolutely.
Them have the wide side of the field.
You got it. And too often leaders are too nervous, too fearful, not trusting enough, and they can't get themselves to do this.
Describe the vibe at a company that embraces the do-nothing leadership culture.
Well, when leaders are doing nothing, they're really not doing literally nothing. They're facilitating other people's performance. They're acting like mini CEOs. And the main rule for a CEO is three simple words. Walk the floor. Get out there, talk to people, ask them how they're doing. You want to touch base with people personally, but then ask them, what can I do to help you perform better? As I've often pointed out, people are not going to ask you for a nuclear power plant. They're going to ask you for something that actually will allow them to perform better, that may not cost too much. And son of a gun, if you can supply it, if you can facilitate their performance, you're better off, the company's better off, and the people you work with can show off their skills even more.
How important is it to know what's going on outside of work to understand what's going on in their heads inside of work?
Well, you need to know people. You don't want, say in an economic downturn, which we've all experienced recently, you don't want to assign the job of coming up with a new creative strategic plan to somebody who's going through an ugly divorce, because they're going to be so distracted by their divorce, they're not going to be able to think as creatively as they might otherwise. So you do have to know people so that you can assign people jobs appropriately depending upon what's happening in their lives. But also, they need to know you care about them. One of my old students put it very well. He said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them.
That was a great line in the book. I've underlined that one in my Kindle edition.
I'm glad you liked it. It wasn't even mine.
Well, Zig Ziglar says, you get everything you want when you help other people get everything they want.
Well, you know, part of my approach in the do-nothing leadership notion is to realize that leadership is a social activity. You can't do everything as a leader. You shouldn't do everything. You shouldn't do as much as you want to do. Let other people do it. It'll allow them to flourish. They want to show off their skills, and as a leader, you want to let them show off their skills.
You know, we live in an age where many leaders believe that it's all about shareholder value. And how can a leader effectively focus on the team concept you're talking about when the downward pressure is all about pleasing Wall Street?
Well, I'm not a big fan of quarterly reports, to say the least. I always hark back to a quote from Warren Buffett, who said, you know, the companies I buy are built like family businesses. They're not all family businesses, but they're built like family business in this regard. They're looking for the long term, not for the 3-month report that Wall Street is after over and over again. I think you have to build infrastructure. You have to build people. You have to facilitate their performance. You have to help them improve. You know, if you do things right, good things are going to happen. If you start doing the quick fix, it's going to catch up to you.
So that's what you're talking about when you're saying there's a difference between maximizing profits and maximizing value?
Part of it's that. Maximizing value, which I also wildly espouse, pays attention to the other person. So as a leader, you're going to have, I like to think of you being in teams with your supervisors, with your customers, with your suppliers, and with your own team members. And think about how they're going to react if in all of those team interactions, you're interested in maximizing value. You want what's good for your superior as well as what's good for yourself. You want what's good for your customer as well as what's good for yourself. And when people see that, they're going to be wildly attracted to you because you're not in it just for your own outcome, for your own profit. You're in it together, and you can be more creative in coming up with ideas that expand the pie so that everybody can be better off.
We're visiting with Keith Murnion, who is the author of a fascinating new leadership book, Do Nothing, How to Stop Overmanaging and Become a Great Leader. Keith, when you were in fifth grade in Sister Marie's class and she was giving you all that math homework.
Exactly.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, you know, I really didn't know what I wanted to be. I can tell you that in my neighborhood, kids wanted to be policemen or firemen, and I wanted to be a little different. So I thought maybe I could be a doorman, or maybe I could be a mailman. And then later in eighth grade, you know, you're graduating and they want to know what you want to be. Well, then I had higher aspirations. I thought maybe I'll be a nuclear physicist. The only reason I wanted to be a nuclear physicist was because my nickname at that time was Mr. Arithmetic, because I could add and subtract well in my head, and we didn't have calculators yet. You know, this was not a good nickname, but I'm happy that I have gotten beyond it.
And how did you finally zero in on your passion?
Well, I was really lucky to live in an apartment building. Right below an associate professor in the psychology department at Purdue University. And I made the rash move of asking if he was doing any research and needed help. And boy, was that fun. And then he actually arranged for me to be able to teach a full class on introductory psychology my senior year. I think they were short of TAs, and so they were desperate, and they hired me to do it. I was horrible. I was the worst teacher you could imagine, and I loved every second of it.
Sounds like he was teaching you by deviously releasing control.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. I had a lot of control. I thought I was great. I really wasn't, but, man, I was having a great time. And I just loved trying to figure out why people behave the way they do and how you can create social situations for everybody's benefit.
You know, and I was mentioning that the phrase deviously releasing control. You talk about that in the book. What does that mean?
Well, leaders often take too much control naturally, and it's because they're responsible for team outcomes. But that leads them to be pretty overbearing. What I suggest instead is think about ways that you can structure situations to still retain control even when you're not around. So incentives are a perfect way to structure behavior. I mean, one of my favorite examples is, you know, tell everyone on your team that you'll pay each of them $10 if when they park their car in the company parking lot, they park it facing north. What are you going to get that next month? Everybody will be facing north because people pay attention to incentives. That's a simple example.
The book is Do Nothing, How to Stop Overmanaging and Become a Great Leader, filled with wisdom that translates well to whatever role you're now playing, and a treasure trove of advice to help you move in the direction of the person you hope to become. Keith Murnion, thanks for joining us in Current State.
Take care.
For Current State, I'm Scott Westerman.